Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by Nico Tortorella, actor and creator of the Love Bomb podcast and all-around spectacular and sexy human. Our discussion was pretty hot, but we also talked about how we're living in a time of sexual fluidity and experimentation and why that's good for your sexual health. How to create a successful polyamorous relationship that's fulfilling and pleasurable. Nico shares his best tips for going down, and you're going to want to take notes. Plus, I might even have an orgasm during the podcast. Enjoy the show. I know I did.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out all of our podcasts. We've got a lot going on there, our blogs. You know, we're posting stuff every week, that every day, actually, that's going to help your sex life. This week, we've got What the Fetish. We explore the origin of fetishes. We delve into the work to remove the stigma that's associated with a lot of fetishes. You guys are always saying, what's up with the foot fetish? What's up with BDSM? What's up with cross-dressing? We will cover that in the blog. Also, 5 ways to kink up your date night, because who doesn't want to kink that up? Those are just some from the last few days. And also follow me on social media, because I love that. I love hearing from you. I love answering your questions. It's Sex with Emily, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter across the board. I'm very excited to get to my guest right now. I have Nico Tortorella. Tortorella. That's how you say it, right?
That's it.
Tortorella.
Nicolo Luigi Tortorella.
Of course.
Just as Irish as you can get.
Okay, right, exactly. Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so Nico and I met. It was so fun. At the Cosmo magazine, Let's Talk About Sex. Let's Talk About Sex panel.
Oh, wait, no, it was Let's Talk About, and we were on the sex panel.
Yeah, which was like obviously the best panel.
Totally. Yeah.
Because they were like, let's talk about, I don't know what else, gardening. We were downstairs eating.
Empowerment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so important stuff.
No, really important. Yeah. Empowering women, like confidence. But we were like, all of that. And people loved it. Like, they were kind of freaking out. They were like, you too. You guys should take it on the road. So maybe this is our first version of like taking it on the road.
This is the appetizer for the road trip.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that we should like form a podcast band and take it on the road? But let me tell you a little bit about Nico. If you don't know who Nico is, you're going to want to just check all his stuff out. He's been in a lot of TV shows, movie roles since 2009. He's starring in Younger, which is on TV Land and Hulu, which congratulations, by the way, like your fifth season.
We're going into five in February.
That's huge.
It's like a real show.
No, it's like for real. Like five. Like you only get two that's big, but five is like, dude, that's amazing. And he's just super talented. You're a poet, writer, musician, musically inclined musician.
Yeah.
What don't you do?
What don't I do? Like math on a regular basis?
Right. Oh, good. Like we have calculators. We pay people to do math. And he loves humans. He loves people. And he's got a podcast called the Love Bomb Podcast. Mm-hmm. And you guys have to check it out because you guys are all podcast listeners. I love sharing new podcasts that I think that you're really going to enjoy. So you've interviewed a lot of really interesting people.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been like the soul of my work recently. You know, I think as an actor, you spend so much time working on other people's projects, right? And you kind of lose track of like what that driving force is. And as soon as I got behind a microphone and started getting this message out, right? And I wasn't even sure what the message was. And I'm still to this day not really sure what the message is, to be honest with you, outside of like acceptance and love. Something just like clicked. I just love communicating with people. And I think there's something about this platform where, I mean, when in life do you like block out an hour to sit across from somebody like this and have a real human conversation that is just like based in trusting each other?
Exactly. You know? You're right. And you really do feel like it's just the two of us. Like there's no, I don't think about all the people that are going to be listening. I know that there are people will hopefully forever people will be listening, but it's really like, I forget the mics are here and we're just getting into it. And I think that you have that same kind of intimacy on your podcast as well, I guess. Maybe most podcasts. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, some people, I think it's a little different, but I'd read that you're just inspired by the conversations that you were already having with people in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Right?
I was having a lot of conversations about sexuality and gender identity, and that was the focus of the podcast in the beginning. That was like what I was getting into. It's kind of just where my head was circling. As time has gone by, it's definitely shifted. A really natural, beautiful shift. Yeah. It started to shift into this world of spirituality and sense of higher self and next level, which I think is really based in this idea of figuring out who you are and what you want, right?
Right.
And if you're taking that step into your own sexuality or your own gender identity, that is inherently a first step in a spiritual exploration of sorts.
It's true. It's so interesting because I think the journey to figuring out who we are and what we want is just, I mean, I think you're, first of all, you're never done because I think you're always changing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but I think that you think it would be easier. There's a lot of people that aren't even on the path, but you think like, oh, I already know who I am. I know who I am. And then you get, hopefully you get to the point in life where you're like, oh, you know what? I think I really don't know. And you think it would be easier because you're like, it's me, but there's always different layers to peel back and we're always changing.
Yeah.
So I want to get into your spiritual journey next, but first, because I am interested in a lot of stuff you've been through, but I want to talk about gender and sexuality. And first, let's start out with how you identify.
Yeah. I am a human being most of the time. I am a cisgender bisexual who explores polyamory.
Okay. So I'm going to have you break down. We were a lot of the terms that we're talking about today because I think it's the wild, wild west of like gender identity right now. I think it's very confusing to people, including myself sometimes. I'm like, wait, cis, I got to stop and think, right? Were you male? Were you female? You know, so cis, I mean, is the gender you're born with.
Yeah, cisgender is the opposite of transgender.
Right,
transgender
exactly.
is very much so in the zeitgeist right now.
Right.
Yes,
let's just,
opposite of trans.
Right.
Yes.
So you're born as a man. So would you say that you're a man though? You said cisgender. So you said cisgender. man.
Cisgender, yes.
Right.
Cisgender, people, male.
Male.
Bisexual, right. Yeah.
Okay, bisexual.
I didn't say male in there.
But some people don't want to be identified as either.
Right.
Male or female.
Yeah, I mean, there's what, 72 different gender options on Facebook right now?
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't want to be identified as either or, there are a plethora of words that you can choose from. Agender, gender nonconforming, gender non-binary. The list is...
And do you know do you understand all of them?
I don't understand all of them. And as interested as I am in gender identity, I am also not attached to the idea of like having definition for each gender personally. You know,
right.
I like studying it outside of the people that I'm having a conversation
right.
with. Like if I meet somebody and they identify as agender, right? And I'm not sure what agender means, that's okay. Like I want to hear it from the person that actually identifies as agender, you know?
Because I'm thinking like, that's where it kind of started on your show. But also it was interesting because watching your segment on The View, which I'm totally cool you had to cancel on our first podcast meeting because you were on The View, which is awesome.
Thanks.
And I thought that was so fascinating about how you really, you were mostly, did they bring you on to talk? How did they pitch it to you?
Okay,
it was like polyamory, but then it was, okay.
No, so here's what happened. So they reached out to me. They were like, we want to do a piece on you and sexual fluidity. And I was like, cool. Awesome.
Right.
Thank you. But like, I'm kind of in a place right now where I'm not into just telling my story. Like I'm super lucky to be in the position that I'm in to have this platform. And like the reason that I have this platform and the reason that people are listening to me talk about these things have a lot to do with the fact that I am white, cisgender and
hot.
Passing heteronormative.
This is, you guys can't see him, but he's very good looking.
Attractive, right?
Attractive,
yes.
Right.
Okay. So that's great and all, but like, I'm tired of telling that story. I think we're living in a time in this political landscape and this climate, like that it's just irresponsible to keep telling my story over and over and over again. So I was like, look, The View, amazing, huge media, huge audience. Let's use this opportunity to tell other people's stories from communities that are marginalized, right? And who don't usually have this platform to talk about their lives. Because I'm a very firm believer that the only way we can understand like all of sexuality and all of gender is if we hear about it from all different walks of life, right? Every single religion, race, color, creed, sexual orientation, like socioeconomic status, everything across the board. It'll just give us a wider view.
Right. And I think there was a lot of people sitting at home watching The View because I'm from the Midwest. So are you. You're from Chicago, right?
Yeah. What are you from, Wisconsin?
Michigan.
Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. But I think I have people watching just thinking like, what? Like you were talking to a group of teenagers. Mm-hmm. Teenagers, right?
They were like 18 to 24.
Right. The one was like, she doesn't identify, she says like when she's talking about her.
Yeah, she doesn't prefer feminine pronouns.
Right, feminine pronouns.
They prefer they, them pronouns.
Right.
Yes.
And I think everyone was like, even the hosts in the show, which I haven't seen The View in forever, but I watched your clip.
I was like, look, we cannot have the bisexual, the sexual fluidity conversation without having a gender conversation. They were like, well, we really want to keep it to sexual fluidity. We really want it to be about the sex and not about the gender. And I was like, that's going to be really difficult to
really
do.
It is really difficult, right.
Really difficult to do. Because when you start talking about being pansexual and being attracted to more than the binary of gender, right? Like you have to talk about the other genders that exist.
Right.
And it gets really confusing. And immediately when we were done with the segment, when I was on air, everyone on the panel was like, God, that should have been the whole episode. We should have done the whole episode.
Oh, yeah. It was like 6 minutes. I'm like, 6 minutes or 8 minutes more.
They should do an entire week on gender fluidity and sexual fluidity.
Well, at least they did a little bit for The View. So that's a place to start. But I know, I was just so glad to see that. So how would you describe the difference between being like sexually fluid, but then also pansexual?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many. Let's talk about some of the terms that are the most common. We're not going to go through all 72 because we've got way more. We've got so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
But
let's talk about the bisexual umbrella for
a
second.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Yes.
So
love that umbrella.
I think these words, pansexual, fluidity, there's tons of words that for me, and I'm not speaking for everybody, for me, fall under the bisexual umbrella, the B that we have in the LGBTQ plus, okay? And in my generation and in generations younger than me, people are a little like trepidatious to use the term bisexual for whatever reason. It has some sort of negative connotation. It hasn't been the most like positively four letter in the community. It just hasn't. And there really hasn't ever been positive representation of it, especially from a dude.
Not from men at all.
Like,
right. For women, they're like, of course, that's great. That's sexy. But for
men.
But
that's also just like the fetishizing of women.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I am all for all the words that fall under the bisexual umbrella. But for me personally, it was just, I made the decision. And at the end of the day, I fall somewhere more under the pansexual idea than the bisexual idea. Because if you think about
the word. So let's talk about pansexual then.
Yeah. Right. If you think about the word itself, bisexual, bi, binary, two choices. Mm-hmm. That's not technically what bisexual is. The word pansexual was born in like the early 90s to fight transphobia that maybe existed in the bi community. Mm-hmm. That's not really true. You know, some people just had their fist in the air for trans rights when that wasn't necessarily the case in the bisexual community, but it's a beautiful thing that it was born, right? So pansexual kind of fully encompasses all genders in sexual and romantic attraction.
So transgender.
Transgender, agender, genderqueer, across the board. It's not about what you have between your legs. It's about what you have in your heart and what you have in your head.
So it's kind of like when people say like they're attracted to someone's sexual energy and their soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And people are like, what? I don't, you know what I mean? But it's kind of true. Okay, so let's talk about you then early on.
Wait, hold on. Can I say one more thing about this real quick? And then for me...
No, let's keep. We got time.
For me, the term fluidity is a word that I use a lot. And I think it far transcends
sexuality. Sexual fluidity
use a lot. Well, just fluidity just fluid, by itself, right? And I think that for me, there's never been any sort of representation of somebody that like plays in the spectrum, right? That it doesn't have to be fixed for the rest of your life. You don't have to be one thing for the rest of your life, right? And that's why I use the term fluid. It's ever changing. It's ever evolving. Right. I can shift instinct. You know, water fluid flows.
Exactly.
And it's just like whatever is taking and whatever's happening is like where I'm going.
Right. And do you feel like this is something that the more you talk about it, that there's people who are having light bulbs going on and saying, I never was able to explain what it was.
Yeah, totally.
You must be hearing from so many people like who email to your show or get in touch with you that they're like, oh, now I kind of get it. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Right now, we're just trying to get people to understand what transgender is. Maybe there's another bathroom. Maybe people are finally understanding because they're seeing it in the news. But then there's this whole other way of thinking about sex. I mean, I think it's great that you really have been a role model.
Thanks. There's so much more work to do.
You know what I mean? I know.
This is like just the beginning. And I live in this little bubble in New York, right? Where all of my friends are queer. And this is all we talk about all the time. And like, I forget that there are people that don't even understand the basic vocabulary of the community, right? Or don't even want to. It blows my mind.
Right.
I'll go to the middle of America and be like, oh, fuck, yes, you people exist.
Right, exactly, right? We go back home and visit our families. Like, what? Uh-huh. But you're right. I was in San Francisco for 20 years before here. So like that was like the, you know, I get it. So let's talk about queer, though, too, real quickly. So queer is kind of, how would you define queer? The queer community. People are like, to me, they're like, can I say queer? It's almost like when you're black, you can say the certain derogatory terms. But when you're queer, like, could I say he's queer? You know what I mean? It still feels to some people like it is sort of a...
Yeah, I mean, queer was a derogatory term for a long time, right? And I think that the community is taking that word back and is really proud of it. But not all of the community.
No, exactly. You know what I mean? You're going to piss people off.
Yes. Like, if I post on Twitter something about being queer, I'll have, like, white, gay, cis men... attack me for using the word queer. Like, that doesn't fucking represent me. Like, how dare you use that word? And I'm like, what? I'm not talking about.
Oh my God, people should get angry about it.
The amount of phobia that exists inside of the community, especially from white cis men, gay men, is like insane.
What do you think it is, though? Why are gay men so threatened by you or by bisexuality? I know I hear this a lot too, like in the lesbian community, they're like, oh, bisexual women too. Like, no, it doesn't. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, any sort of phobia towards anyone is just your own insecurity about something that's going on in your life that is finding some sort of outward expression.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the person's actually living that lifestyle. It has everything to do with you.
Right. No, that's typically, you're right. If they're like writing something in your angry comments, you triggered something in them. It's like a mirror into their own stuff.
For a gay man attacking a bisexual or a queer person, is it the fact that they have more than one option that is like a threat to them or they're jealous of that? Honestly, I don't know. I think it's all a case by case scenario.
Yeah, you're just like about love. Like you're not.
Yeah.
You're like sending love. So let's talk about early on though, Nico. When was your first like sexual experience? Like how did you identify when you were a kid? Who you're attracted to?
Yeah,
well, in third grade, did you have a crush on who? Like,
no, I've always been attracted to women, my entire life. I mean, my mom bought me a Playboy when I was like 8 years old, probably. It was just like I mean, I grew up in a bar in Chicago. There were like dancers at the bar. There were like bartenders that definitely did not wear enough clothes. Like I was around sex my whole life, or sexuality. And it wasn't anything that was thought of as like gross, right?
Your
it was like
open.
Encouraged. Yeah. Right. I mean, I remember the first time I like figured out what being gay was or what it meant. Like, there was nobody in my family that was gay. I didn't have any friends that were gay, like, especially at a young age before I got into the theater world. But I was like, Mom, like, why would two guys ever be together? They can't have a baby. Like, right. it didn't make any sense to me. Like, it was just like, you had sex to have babies, right? That was early understanding.
You're told, exactly. Yeah. People are still told that.
And she was like, what are you talking about? Two men even holding hands, like, that's fucking disgusting. And I was like, oh, I think about this differently than other people do.
Right.
Like, at a really young age, okay. I realized that. There wasn't an immediate attraction to, like, men in my life, right? I have, like, a slew of daddy issues and just abandonment from, like, male figures in my life from a really young age. And I was raised by all women. My first sexual experience, I guess, I lost my virginity when I was 15.
Okay.
In Mexico to this nice. Girl that I met that day. Her name was Antoinette.
Was she Mexican? Was she
Italian?
Okay, Italian. Okay.
Yeah, from the Bronx. And she was a couple years older. And funny story. I mean, we were watching Scarface in our hotel room, and my parents' hotel room was right next to it, with the door, you know, but it was locked. It was closed. Right, yeah. Right. But like, say hello to my little friend, right? It just, it really happened. Okay. And she left, we had sex, she left. I opened the door to my mom's room. I was like, Mom, I just lost my virginity. Like, immediately
oh
I told
God.
Her.
Oh my God, she was cool?
Well, she was like, did you fucking wear a condom? And I was like, I totally forgot about the condom.
Oh, right. Oops. Well, you didn't get her pregnant.
I did not.
Thank
get
God.
Her
okay. Yeah. So that was your first, right. And I love that your parent, that you were open enough to be like, hey, I think people are like that now more so with their parents. Their parents are like, just tell me if you try drugs or what you do. Okay, so you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what, you went through high school?
Yeah.
And then what about when did the men come in?
Yeah, yeah.
What happened there?
In the back of my mind, part of me knew that it was always wrong in one way or not, wrong in quotes.
Right.
Other than, right? It was fringe of sorts. Where I was raised and like in my family, it was considered wrong. And I've always been attracted to things that like I wasn't specifically supposed to do, right? And right. So I always knew
you're
it
a rebel.
Was. Yeah, I mean, I guess, but like not in a like malicious way. It was right. Like it just like I'm a seeker, I'm an explorer, right? There was no way I was going to go through life without experiencing what that was. The second I realized so many people lived like this, and like my first sexual experience with a dude, it's actually a little bit of a strange story. I had a friend that I was really close to, and I had an on-off girlfriend in high school that like we were best friends, right? And she told me that he had come out to her. And I like had this feeling about it, but I knew that he was like going through it, right? And I like wanted to help the situation. Fucked up as that sounds.
Yeah.
I did this whole interview where I was talking about my first experience, and this story came out, and it just sounded like I was doing it because I felt bad for it.
Right.
But that wasn't the case at all. Like I was just as excited to explore the situation
the word?
Too.
Like a pity fuck?
Like a pity fuck. Exactly. Right. Exactly. But that's not what it was at all. Like we went out, got wasted and like shit happened.
And what happened though? Like, did you get a blowjob?
Yeah. We went down on each other.
Right, okay.
There was no ass play at all.
Okay.
I think that was quoted in the interview too.
No ass play. You can always Google that. Okay.
But yeah, and we stayed friends, and that was the only time we ever hooked up. And then I hooked up with another friend of mine.
And also, you were drinking a lot because now I know you're sober.
That was literally like.
Well, this
what
is
was
my question for you, okay? Because now you've been sober for you're 29.
Yeah, 29.
29.
Yeah.
And you've been sober for 2.5 years.
Yeah, well, a little over 2.5.
Okay,
years
that's now. Amazing. First Thanks. Of all, I mean, that's such a. Such a struggle. It's a fight, and I really impressed and proud
I appreciate
of you.
It.
Especially growing up with around alcohol, your family, like in Chicago. Like, I mean, I'm from the Midwest. I go to Chicago, it's like all we do is drink and go to bars.
Totally.
I'm not even a big drinker, but it's like you have to drink there. Right. So the fact that you were able to get out of that and get help for yourself. Okay, so now that you're sober, and I know you've had a girlfriend too for 11 years, 10 years?
11.
Right, 11 years. But you obviously round and off, you're polyamorous, but you see other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more like when you're out in the world now then? So now that you're, not when you're sober too, because I know like drunk sex, sober sex, very different. So how are you still with men though as much as you're with?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a pretty even split.
Okay.
I think for, I don't know, the 9 years that I was really drinking, there were a lot of relationships with men and women that like seem really foggy to me,
right?
That like, I don't think I was treating myself well, so I wasn't treating anyone in my life well. I think that I'm a firm believer that you will love other people the same way that you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like wasn't really loving myself that much. And the second I got sober, I started taking my life seriously and like started taking relationships seriously too, right? Kind of.
Right. To the best of your ability. You have a mission. You're like doing your art, you're doing your work.
Totally.
You're like, you probably don't have time to be in like a committed lockdown, living with someone relationship where you're compromising things, like, right?
I love relationships.
I know, right?
That's
they're
like,
fun.
They're totally fun. And I love starting relationships and like falling in love with somebody and getting to know somebody. And
that's the best part. We call it the honeymoon phase.
The honeymoon phase, yeah. I love a honeymoon phase. And I've had like a good handful of like 4, 5, 6 month relationships that fizzle out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With men and women. I've made a career on that.
Have you?
Now I barely do. I mean, no, for years I was like, why can't we just keep doing this?
Right.
It's like you always get to eat the frosting, mm-hmm. dessert all the time.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I've hurt a lot of people, you know?
And right, right.
This sounds annoying, and I've talked about this before, but I've never been broken up with. I've never been the one that is like destroyed. I've destroyed myself a couple times in it. But yeah, I've like left this trail and that doesn't feel good.
Right.
And I think that at the end of the day, I haven't necessarily treated the people in my life, as good as I could.
Right.
But I'm trying to be better.
You're learning. Right? And I think that where that might come in is, and I did the same thing, I'm telling you. I left so many, I never have been broken up with. I'm trying to think if I have now. Now it's a little different but back I'd say I was a serial monogamist, but that would happen and I would break up with them. I think I was, you know, intimacy issues. There's a lot of different reasons, but this isn't necessarily about, but for you, I would think, and now what I've learned looking back on it is I do regret people I've hurt. But also, I think it comes down to communicating early on. Well, here's the other thing. Do you find that you are probably communicating early on? Like, this is amazing. I love this, but I'm seeing other people. But when you're under that spell, the honeymoon, it's amazing. They're like, yeah, I hear your words.
Right.
But oh my God, the sex is explosive and looking into your eyes. And I can't imagine this is ever going to.
But also, I have a podcast now, right? That people can go and listen to all of these stories of different people that I've dated, right? And that is really something that I'm struggling with these days.
Oh yeah. Do you want to, like, I've been doing this for 12 years. So yeah, I get it. I'm like, oh my God, I've had guys call me and be like, you went on another date last weekend? Or But.
Yeah, like I got a phone call last week that was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't listen to this podcast. Maybe I should just like really get to know you face to face instead of listening to the podcast.
I tell people not to. Like when I've met people recently and they're like, oh, we talk on the phone or however we meet. They're like, oh, I'm going to go listen. I'm like, but then I'm afraid if I say, please don't. Then they're absolutely going to.
Well, the thing is like, it depends on what episode they're listening to.
Exactly.
Right?
They're all different.
Yeah.
Right.
And like when I recorded it.
Right.
Because I'm changing so fast, right? I'm a different person than I was last week.
I know. Exactly.
You know? So like, I may have said some shit like a few months ago that like I don't necessarily totally stand by right now.
Exactly.
But it's out in the world and they listen to it and it programs the person that I'm dating. You can just tell them
it's your art and that's what you do and it's like performance art and in a way you'd love them to get to know you.
Right.
One-on-one and have to listen. But they're still going to do it. But,
yeah.
You know. That's really interesting. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break.
Go ahead.
We're going to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Thank you, everyone, for supporting our sponsors. I gave you a little quick glimpse, Nico, at some of the prizes you'll be going home with. But you guys, seriously, thanks for supporting them, keeping the show free. We love you all, and we'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. So where were we? Oh, dating. Right.
Yes.
It's hard with the podcast. People always say to me, like, are guys intimidated at you, or are people intimidated because of what you're saying, or you're the expert? It's like, you know what? I could think about all those things, or maybe they're just dating me for another reason because they think I'll teach them something, you know, yeah, or who totally. Knows? But I think I feel like I'm a pretty good judge of character, and I would know once I met them what their intentions were. Right. And then I realize I'm even taking more time than I would have in the past, maybe, like just jumping in bed with someone. Not that I wouldn't do that, but I'm just saying, I feel like I'm a better, like I can kind of tell their intentions, but it's still going to happen because it's all out there.
Totally. And like, I'm talking about being polyamorous all over the place right now too, you know? And like, I think I realize that the people coming into my life either see that in one way or another. Like, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine somebody that's coming into my life, like, doesn't fucking Google me.
Well, if you Google point, you, yeah. Okay, so here's all your articles right here, right? Let me, you guys, then you guys gotta Google them right now because you gotta check them out. It's like, younger star reveals he's sexually fluid. This is, okay, here's another title. This is what a queer family looks like.
Well, yeah, well, that's a really important one, that one, because Bethany and I are on the cover of The Advocate.
Yeah, that's a beautiful piece.
We're the first ever male-female couple to ever be on the cover of The Advocate since it started, which is wild.
No, that's amazing.
But I mean, we got a lot of shit for that cover.
From who? From the gay community. Yeah, I get
we're
it.
Two white people who look and pass as a heterosexual couple who are talking about being queer. It's a problem for a lot of people.
Right, it is. But I love that you're breaking down all these barriers. Yeah. I really do. So mostly for you right now, it's not like you're so concerned. You know, other people, you have to define maybe what you're into to other people. But for you now with relationships, it's really more about being polyamorous. And how would you define, like, your primary partner, I guess, would be Bethany,
yeah,
right,
for sure.
And so
and we only, like, we've had sex twice in the last, like, 2 years.
Okay,
you know, so we're like not really sleeping together all the time,
right? So you're more like, what do they call it now, single poly, or like poly single, when you're just, when you're single but you're dating a lot of people?
Well, I'm not even dating a lot of people. I'm right. actually like...
Or sex. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, no. To be honest with you, I'm actually pretty monogamous in my idea of polyamory. Like,
explain,
I will...
Explain that one.
Yeah.
Monogamy, polyamory. Okay.
I will meet somebody new and I will give, like, most or all of myself to that new person from the get-go to, like, really get to know that person. And I think, especially on a physical level, I, like, can't have sex with more than one person at a time. Or I haven't been able to in the past. I, like, if I'm sharing with somebody, that is what I'm working on right now.
Right.
And that, like, I'm giving so much of myself to it that there's not actual space to, like, sleep with him on Thursday night, sleep with her on Friday night. Like, I just can't do it.
I get it. Because that's the thing about polyamory, is that there are a lot of people I know in that world. They're like, oh, yeah, it literally is Monday nights with this person, Thursday nights with this person.
And but that's beautiful.
You, yeah.
I'm
but you
so
get to define it.
It.
But for you, it's more like 4 to 6 months with this person, 4 to 6 months with the next person.
But yeah, and like if you build the stable groundwork with a new person in your life, and then you decide to like open it up and start seeing other people, I think that can be beautiful.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can like jump into a new relationship and be like, yeah, we're both going to sleep with other people for the next couple months. Right. And like, good luck.
I see. I have the same issue. So that's what I've always been kind of considering. I guess I have been, I don't really label it, but polyamorous in my past. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe now I'm dating and sleeping with people. So see, there you go. Now I'm going to get in trouble. Like, oh yeah, I was just sleeping. But I think that, that it is, but when I meet someone and I actually like them, it is hard for me to be like, wait, I can't help it. I get attached. I'm like, I think that you do need to build that foundation first, and then be like, okay, maybe we should open it up. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, then you're just, which is find as well, you're just sleeping with several different people, but you're not going to go any deeper with somebody. I think if that's what's happening, it's harder, at least for me, to not have that intimacy.
But maybe like that is what I should do, actually. Like maybe I don't need to get that deep. I know. In the beginning.
That's such an intensity that you have, right? Yeah. But well, that's what I was going to ask you. So, right. Are you doing it because it helps you feel safer?
Safe.
You like, you know, you want them to make sure they really like you and get you. You want to feel understood.
I want to hold somebody's hand and like have fireworks explode. Right. And like that doesn't happen unless you know that person.
Right. You've never had it happen. Well, we know them how, like where they grew up and then their mom's name.
Like intimately know that person.
Right. Okay.
Energetically, like share on a level that I think can only happen when you give yourself totally to that person for a certain amount of time.
Right. See, and I understand what you're saying, but I've also had experiences, and again, this is not for everybody, where I can get really close with someone quickly, like, cause I'm not like I'm not like a bullshit person. So I think I'm pretty much the same wherever I go. Like if you talk to me on this podcast or we met out on the street, like I'm pretty much I have no secrets. You guys know everything. And so I feel like I also, and I'm not like a small talker. So if I meet someone, I can connect with people like really pretty easily.
I can tell.
And yeah, I'm like, oh my God. So I feel like I can kind of go there, and that a lot of people think they might interpret that as, wow, this is really, could be something where I'm like, not that I don't feel with everybody, but I can do it.
Can I ask
you
a question?
Yes.
Do people fall in love with you really fast? More than you fall in love with them?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's historically is what's happened.
Me too.
Yeah, same with you. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And that feels good though too, right?
It like feels great.
Right.
Yes, it feels great until it doesn't. Until you feel like you're fucking drowning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think what I'm really working on right now is understanding like how much love and affection I can actually receive, not necessarily how much love and affection I can give.
Right.
And I think that's been my struggle recently.
Is it easier for you to give it or to receive it?
Well, what are we talking about here?
I don't know anything. So,
No. Yeah, I think it's much easier for me to give than it is to receive anything. Okay. Anything.
Right. But you're saying you're not seeing several of them at once. So this is more like a few months and a few months and a few months. And then they're all like, well, where are you going now?
I mean,
but a few weeks. And then how do you
know? And like you meet the people that are like, yeah, that say they love the same type of way that you do, or say that like this freedom exists, and then you realize that maybe it doesn't.
Right. Or they'll say anything to get to like, oh yeah, I want to be polyamorous, or I want to be open, or I'm cool. Does jealousy come up for you a lot?
No, I'm the least jealous person you'll ever meet.
Right.
Like I have no problem dating somebody and them sleeping with other people.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Never. But what about the people that are in love with you? Do they get jealous?
Oh yeah.
Right. That's the problem, that's the thing. Right? They get possessive and jealous.
Right.
Like I used to have this thing with men. They'd be like, oh yeah, I love that you're so independent and free. And then eventually they would say something to the effect of, oh, I love that you're so out there, but I really just want to put you in this box.
Right.
Or let me just put you in my pocket.
Yeah.
There's a million different ways I've heard that they want to own it and keep it for themselves. So what they're so attracted to in you, they actually just want to own it.
What
lock
I think
it down.
It is, I think
clip
that
your wings.
You and I both share this like same light, right? And I think that people are attracted to that light. But once they realize that the light is ours, and it's just there for them to stand in, to not take, we immediately become the asshole.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. You're right. That is what happens. Well, look how self-aware you are. This is happening.
I mean, I think this is the next step, right?
Well, it sounds like it.
My path now, is understanding all
of this. Yeah, exactly. And then being really honest. See, I don't think that I was as honest with people earlier on. Because I, even from a younger age, I never felt that monogamy made sense to me. Mm. Like I was in college and I was like, I'll do it because there was really no other options on the table.
Right.
But then I always felt like I struggled with it.
And you're also a woman too. So it's like, it's a
and
totally
so many
different
space
exactly. for you.
It is. And so, but now I think it's just now, and I think this is great that you're shedding light on it. It's like people don't have a lot of great role models of what it means to be bisexual and to be open in the world and to be a man who's bisexual.
Right.
Like people just, they just like, oh, you're just gay. It was funny. I was listening to your Sheila Nevins podcast, which I love Sheila. I used
love
to be a documentary filmmaker before I was, before I did Sex with Emily.
Nice.
And I was such a Sheila Nevins fan. Like
for sure.
She was like the queen. She still is. You're like, I just want Sheila Nevins to meet with her.
She ripped me apart.
She was so funny. She's like, honey, you're not bisexual.
You're gay.
Are you seeing a psychiatrist? Like she was hilarious.
No, she really gave
But right?
Me.
She was just like, but I get
but
that.
That's
like
a
my mother,
thing
it's
too.
A generational
yeah, for
thing.
Sure.
It really is. So you're really in this place right now.
Well, look, I think that at the end of the day, we only believe what we see. And we've seen predominantly one story since the beginning of time, you know, and it is a white man and a white woman with kids.
Right, exactly.
That's it. That's the only thing we've seen. And now in the last like 50 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, we're seeing all these other stories. And exactly. In the last 10, 20 years, now with social media, we're seeing all the stories. And we're starting to believe that more things are real.
Which is what I love. Right. It's more possible. Alternative relationships.
Yes.
Polyamory.
Lifestyles. For me, it's all about normalizing the abnormal, the quote unquote abnormal.
Right. So let's talk about sex for a minute.
Let's talk about
sex. Just like we did. That's how we met, being full circle to our panel. I don't know. Like, how has it changed for you over, like, even let's say since you got sober, I would imagine sex is
totally different. Yeah. Sex was like a lot scarier once I got sober.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Because I mean, I was so used to like going out, getting wasted and bring somebody home.
Right.
Not like random people, but like having drunk sex. Yeah. And it just made things easier or a lot harder because you couldn't get it up when you were blacked out. Right. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, you know, sex has become a lot more sacred. It's since my sobriety.
Okay.
I think like I'm really starting this exploration of my own sexuality, and acts of sex, to better understand how I can like reach higher levels of it.
So do you mean more energetically using breath? What do you?
Yeah. Having more intense sex. Opening my mind to other possibilities of what sex can be and what sex can look like and what sex can feel like. And
can you describe one of those experiences that you've had lately where it was like, this is a different experience? Because I'm always talking on the show to my listeners. I'm always saying like our sex lives, I want everyone to have expansive sex lives, to not be set in the, you know, I know how he gets off, she gets off. That's what we do. We fall asleep. It's like, no, there's so many ways to have sex and to enjoy it, and our bodies have an unlimited capacity for pleasure. And I think we don't even tap into it.
Yeah.
Like they say, use 10% of your brain. I don't even think that we understand our sexual capacity either. Like our bodies, what we're capable of. So
yeah, you know? I mean, for men, right? Prostate play. I think that is like something that I'm starting to understand more what that actually means and like how to achieve next level orgasms from prostate play. Right.
Using toys or fingers or penises,
all the above,
everything.
Yeah.
Right? Nice.
And edging, I've been doing a lot of
I gave you a fleshlight. I'm going to give you a fleshlight too, yeah.
Nice.
Edging, yeah.
Edging work, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then your orgasm, tell me, let's explain, I talk about edging a lot, but you explain your experience with it for men, because I think that I want men to go there.
Yes, edging. So you're jerking off, right? Mm-hmm. You got some good porn on or something, and you stop right before you're about to come, okay? And let it set for a second, and it's hard to stop right before you're about to come. There's like a quarter of a second that exists in that space. And you got to let it breathe for a second, right? Not touch it, because if you touch it, it's going to go. And kind of start back again slow and get back up to that point and see how many times in a row you can go and do that before you come. And it's all about controlling different muscles, right? And the longer you wait, the better the orgasm will be.
Right.
And the more you will come too.
Right.
Like you're just building up this like shot.
Right.
And
it's energy.
Just, yeah,
right?
Totally. And just like actual cum itself.
Right. You guys love that. A lot of cum. Just shoot it across the room.
So much cum.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's more intense. I like that. You're doing that on your own practice.
I was just going to say, and you can do it with other people too.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's so fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's like adjust or control. Yeah.
Female edging. That's a thing.
Yeah. It kind of is a thing. Yeah, definitely. It is a thing. What do we call it for women? I mean, like it's not really edging, but it's more like delaying I think it's the same thing as building up your energy. Here's the thing about for women, which it's a more of an advanced practice. Cause I think a lot of women are just like happy when they have an orgasm. It's harder for women, right? Yeah. It's more elusive. Like one thing happens and the disappearing orgasm. But I think it's great to practice like when you're masturbating, when you know you're going to get there and it's the same thing and you stop and then you build it up again and then it's much more, explosive, amazing. And then you could start to have full body orgasms. Sometimes when you just hold, I know a lot of men who've done that kind of practice where they just actually don't even ejaculate.
Right.
Like,
just
hold
on to
the body. So that's what I was wondering if you were talking about.
There's definitely some tantra work in my future.
Yeah, same.
I haven't tapped into it quite yet, but I know that it is something that I will study at some point soon.
Yeah.
For sure. Do you remember American Pie? Do you remember that one character that was like working on his tantra for basically the entire movie?
Yeah.
And he was like standing by a tree or jerking off or something. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. What's that character's name? Shitbrick. Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, also, for me, I'm also like really at a point in my life where I'm understanding what the difference, and if there is one, really, between having sex with a man and a woman,
well, that was
and someone in between the right. two, right? And I think I'm opening myself up more to doing the work on understanding where those differences lie right now.
What would you say are the differences between having sex with a man and a woman?
I mean, like on a basic level, it's just most of the time easier having sex with a woman because you don't have to like prepare everything else. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right. You know, mean like empty, like,
right. Yeah. Right. Clean up. And it's just a different hole, right?
Right,
it's
right,
a different,
exactly.
It's a different hole. And a vagina, you know, naturally lubes. It's right. like, it's just, we're good to go. It's smooth sailing for the mm-hmm. most part. And it can be that way with a dude. Just like right. you have to get to that point. And just energetically, it's totally different, right? Like,
yeah.
granted, there are men that I've slept with that are extremely feminine. Right? That is much more like having sex with a woman mm-hmm. than it is having sex with a man. There are women that I've slept with that are extremely masculine, that like definitely dominate the entire experience. And it's like a lot more primal, more like having gay sex.
Right.
And I, you know, I've had sex with trans people that just, you know, fuck it all up and you're all confused on
yeah,
what's going
right?
on.
Right. Yeah. It must be. So you've had sex with trans women?
Yeah, I have not had sex with a trans man.
Right.
I would love to have sex with a trans man at some point.
That should not be hard for you to
no,
find, right?
Right, but I'm
but
not
who's
like
got time? You're so busy.
Like, but I'm also like not like being like, oh, hey, trans man, you want to have sex? Like, that's like, I want to like fall in love with a trans man
right.
at some point.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you seriously, like you have these experiences where it's kind of like when you're out in the world, it's a blank slate. Like you're just sort of like, who am I attracted to in this moment? You're not like going through your phone going, oh, okay, I get laid tonight. Tonight I want to be with a less dominant female, right? It's just sort of energy. It's
yeah.
the energy.
And that's I've never gone through my phone and like been like, who am I going to have sex with
I get
tonight?
It. I'm right. just thinking like of what you're...
I gauge my what I'm into based on the porn that I'm watching.
Oh, okay. What porn are you watching right now?
Well, I mean, I watch everything. Like...
Right, what porn? Tell me.
The last couple of days I've been watching straight porn.
Straight porn, okay.
Yes, but I mean, I've watched every type of porn that exists.
Do you always watch porn when you masturbate?
Not always.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going off, oh, got it, so you're at a straight thing, so then it's in your mind.
Right.
So the porn is dictating your sexual behavior, your sexual...
In my head.
Okay.
It's not necessarily dictating, like, the type of sex that I'm having.
Right.
But I know that, like, if I'm dating a dude and I'm... all of a sudden start watching straight porn, I'm like, oh, like something's
right,
going on.
Right. So that's interesting. So is it more like you're craving, let me back up. I've had periods of my life where I actually am sleeping with a few different people and I can kind of, when I'm with them, it's very like I'm present, I'm there. It's not just like I'm trying to get off. You know, there's a real connection. And
right.
so I'm wondering, as you're in these places with people, like what happens? You said like, you know, you're with a gay guy that you're having sex with and you start watching straight porn. But there must be something else that goes on. Like, are you just getting like not as... Because you're saying you don't do any overlap. Like, I could very easily see, like, I'm into this guy, but I just watched some straight porn. And so I want to go have sex with a woman right now.
Right.
But yet go back to the gay guy at the end of the week.
And not even necessarily gay, but bisexual.
Okay, bisexual, sorry.
Yeah,
see,
no, it's
now
fine.
I'm already messing
no,
up
no,
too.
It's,
bisexual.
No, it's totally fine. I usually date gay men, not bisexual men. So.
Right. Well, why not bisexual men?
I've dated one bisexual dude. And
wow, interesting.
Yeah. It was almost like we both knew too much about each other because we were both bisexual. It was, I don't know. There was something about it that it was like, we have to go spread this message instead of like giving it to each other type
wow.
of thing.
Okay.
And that could have nothing to do with the fact that we were bisexual. Mm-hmm. It was just that we were similar people. But I don't know. Yeah, I've only dated one other bisexual dude.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that there is people still don't get it even though like, yeah. oh, he's just gay or he's not, like we right. said earlier. So do you have a type though within each one of these?
No.
Not at all.
I mean, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who won't you date? Is there any traits that's like a turnoff for you, let's say?
Like physical traits?
I hate to do the physical thing, but mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, kind of though. Like, is there anything that it just, or something that you lean, how about what you lean towards more than not? Rather than putting in a negative.
I lean towards men that are like brawny men, like baseball player looking dudes.
Right.
And I like historically, I like the women in my life to be like very much so pocket-sized.
Pocket-sized.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Yeah, baby. Okay. Love to know that. That's great. So sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. So, okay. What about with women and men, the difference? We were talking about just like the cleanup, but what about just like for women and like foreplay? Like, what have you learned about having sex with women?
Well, as far as like... There's a softness about having sex with women that I'm really into. And there is just even like their skin, right? Like, I am as attracted to like beautiful, supple, soft skin as I am to like a hairy fucking leg. Like, it's interesting.
It's so interesting that your mind goes in all these different
things. Totally interesting.
That you're so open.
And like a soft face and like small lips compared to like a big dude's face with a big fucking beard. Like, I can get down with both.
Right. And it really is just kind of
wherever
you're at in your life. That's just so fascinating. Is there anything that you've learned about women? I get it, you're with so many different kinds of women, but if you had to say there's like these certain things about women that is kind of a universal truth, even though we're all different. Is there anything that you're like, it seems like women all, or this works for a lot of women, like they really like it when I...
We're talking sexually or we're talking...
Yeah, sexually.
I mean, like, I love eating pussy.
Awesome.
And I think all women love... love that.
Yeah, many do. I believe that many women do, and that for women, there's some women who really don't. Like, it's, they're super sensitive, right, and like just doesn't feel good.
But there's a couple girls that I've dated that have totally been not into it, and they actually, like,
they weren't into it, or you weren't?
No, they weren't into it at all. And this was years ago.
Okay.
But like, the sex actually didn't work at all because of it.
Right.
Because it was like they were so unattached to their own bodies that like sex past it didn't even work.
That's what I think. I think that there's a lot of women who don't yet know that they could love oral sex because of perhaps some shame around their body, or, you know,
there's something just more intimate about eating a pussy than there is having sex with a woman.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But I love that you love it, because there's a lot of men who I think they just do it to get, it's a means to an end.
No.
And they
love it. I could do it for hours.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great skill. That's like, that's the ultimate, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
So there's something about the tongues in my family too. On my dad's side of the family, we all have like really strange, large tongues that can do all of these weird things. Like, at one point, we're all sitting at dinner, my dad, my two brothers and I, and we all like started doing these tongues, and we was like, oh, we all can do this.
I wonder why you love it. You're well equipped. Yeah. That's a great thing too. So you're like the perfect specimen then for many women. So you like oral sex. Anything that you... I love giving oral sex tips to my listeners. We have a lot of men listening. What would you say, something that you're like, this is always like...
I mean, I just think like slow, wide turns, you know, like
with your tongue, slow, wide turns. Okay. Flat tongue, like
switch it up.
Right. You got to switch it up.
You got to switch it up. You got to, you know, just keep changing. As soon as she gets comfortable with something, you got to make it into something else.
Right. But always go slow. Don't start with the, I'm going
to
try everything.
Don't start with the try everything. Like, definitely start slow. You can get to the everything if she's really into it.
Right.
But take your time and like, you know, explore her and like use your hands and use your face and like just get all
get
up
into
in
it.
There. I'm getting hard right now. Yeah, just talking about this.
I'm getting wet, so that's cool. You're super turned on. That's awesome. I feel like that there are, I don't know how to explain this to a lot of you. She's like, do you want me to leave, my producer? Yeah, you guys should all leave. But I feel like, there's just a lot.
Can I ask you, have you ever had an orgasm on air in here?
No.
Well, how not? How come? Why not?
I don't know.
The show's called Sex with Emily.
I know, right? It's like,
has anyone ever asked you that on here?
People have asked me, like, someone actually very recently said, you realize you should just have a sex on your orgasm on your podcast. I'm like, yeah, but no, I haven't. No, I have never had an orgasm. That would be kind of fun, right?
Yeah, totally.
Might go in a different direction, though. I just feel like then it's like, I don't know. But you're right. There's been a lot of people who are like, it's Sex with Emily, but it's not about Sex with Emily. Wow. Something on the bucket list then. Maybe I should. I don't know. Have you had an orgasm in your podcast?
No, but my show's not called Sex with Nico. If my show was called Sex with Nico, I would definitely be having orgasms on my podcast. I'm working on a TV show right now and developing a TV show. And there's an idea for an episode that's all based in sex therapy and me hiring a surrogate and having sex with a sex therapist on air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could do that. Well, yeah. Are you auditioning me?
Oh, I mean, if you're up for the job, we can start practicing.
I've never had sex on camera.
I haven't either.
All right.
You wait, not even like at home phone camera or anything?
No. And I don't even have any naked photos of me out there, really. I'm trying to think if that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
really?
I know. I probably should. I mean, I probably should have naked photos because, I don't know, I just never wanted to.
You don't ever take a picture of yourself naked?
Mm-mm.
Not even just for yourself? In your whole life?
I'm so busy.
God. First of all, I bet you look so good naked.
Yeah, you know, I love my body. I have not. I guess I got this I've been doing this show. I thought I don't want to send it to somebody and then it's going to be like out there.
Yeah, I'm at the point now where it's like.
Well, you're like naked. Okay, in a lot of your pictures, naked-ish. Well,
but naked-ish, I guess.
But your body's amazing. So it's like, you're just always naked. Like the picture's like, take the clothes off, right?
I mean, my body is not always amazing. It like may look like it is on Instagram, but that's work, right? Like,
yeah. Those filters are really hard to work.
Come on. No, but like I know how to take a picture and have my body look a certain way.
I don't know that. I need to learn that.
Well, we can have a lesson.
Okay, really? Like, because I feel like I could, I just don't know how to stand. I'm always, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, I'll work on that. Put that on the bucket list as well. Because I have like a few bikini shots on Instagram. People like love, like it's like more likes than I've ever gotten. And they were barely like posed, but I'm like, oh, should I just do that? Because it's all about likes. I don't know. What? I'm thinking about it. We got a lot to do.
Also, I have a podcast coming up too. So I'm going to turn the tables.
You guys, I am doing his podcast shortly after this. So you're going to have to check both of them out because God knows what is going to happen on that podcast.
I just want to know more about you.
I know, right? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. See, now this is good that we started. This is like our foreplay. And then you're going to like, boom, Emily, all about you. Nico, you're awesome. Everyone check out Nico's podcast, The Love Bomb.
Yeah.
And all of your social media.
Thanks for having me on.
This is really fun.
Yeah.
What's all your social medias? Oh, I have, actually do have questions for you.
Yeah.
I have five questions
for you. Five questions.
But what's your social media real quick? I have it here, but this document
My Instagram is Nico Tortorella, NicoTortorella. Twitter, I think it's actually getting changed today to be that exact same thing.
Okay.
I don't have Facebook, don't have Snapchat.
We'll put it, it'll be all on our
Instagram's the spot. Yeah.
It'll be all on our social medias and our website. I can't even speak. Okay, these are five questions we ask everybody. Ready?
Yeah, I got it.
Here we go. Okay. Biggest turn on?
Confidence.
Biggest turn off?
Jealousy.
Okay. Sexiest part of a man's, or I'm going to ask you, a man or a woman's body?
Sexiest part of a man's body is right above his like bush.
Okay.
Yeah.
If he has a bush.
Well, he's definitely going to have a bush.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not into full grooming.
No. Men or women.
Right. No. Right. Okay. Uh-huh. I got it. You want a bush, a full bush or just a trim?
Full bush.
Really? See, that's rare too. Men God, that's a women. Whole nother freaking show.
Yeah. We could talk about,
we could talk about sex for hours. Like I literally used to do whole shows on just whole shows on grooming. Okay. Woman's body.
God, there's a couple like side, like rib side boob situation. Also like right under an ass cheek and like the spot in between her pussy and her asshole.
Yeah. Perineum. It's a good one. Okay. What's the one thing you wish you could tell your current and or all future partners about your bodies, your needs? Like, what don't they know? Like, what do you think? I wish they would all just know blank.
I'm sensitive.
Your body sensitive? Or
and emotionally.
Oh.
Yeah, physically and emotionally sensitive.
Now you've just told them because they're all going to listen.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Nico.
Thank you.
This was awesome. This was fun. Thank you to my amazing team. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.
Woo!